I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your boom. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls,
hey. Hey it girls, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
How are we all?
Are we slaying this week? Happy hump day.
Queens.
Yay. Yeah, yeah.
Hope you're all girl bossing it as per usual.
Yes, and don't let any man bring you down. Straighten that crown, biatch.
Before we start this week's episode, just make sure to go on over to thenimco.com and see if there's any masks left over. There are very, very few going. The ribbon ones are pretty much sold out, but there's a handful of elastic ones left. So if you want some, go get them, girlies. They're cute as fuck, and to be honest, they are so good because I think they're great for when you wash them. That like material that they use on that Niamh uses on the outside, like no creasing whatsoever. It's great,
no creasing, and it's perfect because the organic cotton that touches your skin is perfect for like people who are suffering with like maskne and stuff like that, because like having polyester or non-breathable fabric on your skin can create like
it's bad.
And also, when masks are like really close to your face, these kind of sit and give you space to breathe. So they're so much more comfortable than other masks that we've used. That's why we wanted to collab with Nimco.
Our good pal. So comfortable, by the way. Evan has robbed mine on me.
The bastard.
And I'm like, babes, you think you'd support? You'd support it a little bit and maybe buy one?
True. And they are unisex. Little cute Cher bonnet that I drew and that Niamh did her little swirl in.
They're so pretty.
They're sick. I actually have a cool outfit that I'm going to put on the gram. I got a checkered top to match my checkered mask and a checkered pair of sockies.
Oh, cutesy. She'll be posting that on the gram.
You double tap, queens. Support women, support women, all right? That's what we like around here, isn't it, Jenny?
Hell yes, queen.
Okay.
So we're doing our Q&A. It feels like it has been a fucking minute, even though it's only been a month. We do them once a month, but every time we do them, they come around. I'm like, dear God, it's been a while.
It's like our period. You're like, what the fuck?
So true. Oh my God.
You're back again. And she's like, yes, I am, bitch. I'm here to fuck up your life.
So we're actually going to go through like 5 questions today. We usually do 3, but we're going to try keep it snappier. But we just got some good shit off you guys this month. Some really good questions. So thank you so much. As always, we open up our Tumblr inbox, which allows for anonymous submissions once a month. And that is announced on our Instagram. So keep an eye on our Instagrams. It's Pussy Get, it's Mermaid of Jade, and it's It Girls Podcast. I never shout out our Instagram.
Oh my God, you follow our
we
gram.
Fucking never do.
Yeah, our gram is not like growing for folks.
Especially
follow
it
that
girls.
Shit.
Follow that shit, bitches.
It Girls Podcast. It's follow that. Follow us. Let's all follow each other. It would mean
we
the world.
The engagement.
It would mean also sign up to Patreon, please. Because that's where the juicy shit is. Thank you so much for all the subscriptions. Jenny made that amazing little ad that you would have got.
Yeah, that was so funny. We're going to do them once a month so you'll get to keep up. And the temptation will always be there. But let's move on. Let's get these questions
jump right
going.
Into it. Okay.
Who wants to start off?
I will start.
Okay.
Oh, please. Ooh, the baby accent is so sick.
Please.
Can I start, please?
Daddy, can I start?
Okay, I'm nearly 24 and have been with the boy for 3 years now. I don't see us ever getting married, but we're both very happy. However, my friends think this is mad and don't know why I'd stay with him if I can't see that future with him. Are they right?
Ouchie, wawa.
Oh, and she doesn't want to marry her boyfriend. What did he do? Would you not say I do?
Well, you say I do.
Okay.
To the wing. Sorry.
So you're 24 and you're with someone for 3 years. That's a long time.
It's a very long time.
And you're happy. I do think that's a bit mad, not considering a future with a guy or being with someone and knowing that that is going to, is not, you're not considering him as someone that you would marry. Now, maybe if you're not looking for marriage, that's a different thing. But
well,
if you're not
just
looking.
Let's just presume she, when she says marriage, she means long-term commitment, okay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, she didn't specify otherwise. I do think that's, yeah, I agree, Linz. I think that's really, it's not a great sign, okay? Like, you know, it, you know, I'm sure you are happy with your fella and you do love him. But I think that if you, like, even when I was younger and I was going out with my first boyfriend, second boyfriend, I was around this age and younger, even though, like, I knew I was young, I still factored in those boyfriends into, like, my future. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would never be with someone, especially not for 3 years of my damn life, that I wasn't going to consider having in my future, because that would just make me anxious. I'd be thinking, like, what am I doing here? And as well, like, why not ask? I would like to ask the question, I think, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, ask yourself the question, why? You know, like, is it because you don't, like, why? Is it, you know, sometimes I think when we're younger, we can get with more, like, kind of, say, seshy lads or guys who are just, like, fun to be around, and that we wouldn't consider kind of an option for, like, settling down. You know, I think we always think of, like, settling down when we consider, like, marriage and the future and stuff like that. But if you're saying that you're happy, if you're in a happy relationship, I do find it kind of peculiar that you would, it feels like you have a sell-by date plastered on this relationship.
And it's not very fair on your fella. Like, that's what I find. It's like, you know, you have to, you know, like, so Lindsay always says, which is a great like phrase, she's always like, you know, within dating we're always trying to get out of it with our dignity. And it's the same in relationships, you know, like when you're going through breakups or when you're kind of questioning your relationship, like, you have to, like, you want the relationship to still have its dignity in a way, you know, and you don't want it all, like, no one wants this big toxic messy breakup where you're fucking hating each other. And you know, at the end of the day, you've spent 3 years with this guy. Do you think, not only, like, ask yourself, why do I not want to be with him, but do you think he deserves to be in a relationship with someone who, like, isn't considering going, like, marrying them or, like, staying with them long term? Because if I was going out with a guy for 3 years and he somehow was like, ah, oh, yeah, but, like, I know I'm not going to stay with her, I'd be like, fucking break up with me, please. Like, that is such a fear of mine, that someone is just, like, staying with me to, like, appease me. And I don't know that there's this sell-by date going on. And I'm just, like, walking around thinking that I'm going to marry this fucker and he's, like, fucking already half broken up with me in a year time. You know what I mean? Like,
you had a kind of similar thing with your ex-boyfriend where he was just adamant that he was not interested in marriage. Now, it wasn't that he wasn't interested in, like, you long-term, but it was more so the idea of marriage he was against.
Yeah.
And he kind of had laid down that rule, and that was his, there was no maneuver, there was no like changing that. It was like, I
it was my way or the highway.
Yeah,
his way or the highway, not my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, at least he still was like, it was never a thing of like, and I'm not going to be with you forever. Like, that was that was always, you know, when we were even having those conversations around marriage, like, he still would never have said anything like that to me, or he was never like, and I'm not seeing you in my future. That wasn't part of the question. I was just like, you know, that was a separate entity to it. So whether it's marriage or whether it's just like staying with each other or saving for a mortgage or like committing with each other or just seeing them in your future, like, you don't have to freak yourself out with this whole like, who am I going to marry? Because that can be overwhelming when you're younger.
It's overwhelming when you're goddamn 33. You know, when you get with someone, you're like, oh my God, do you think this is my last shag? I'll never be shagging anyone new again. Is this it?
Yeah.
You know, like, you think like that. But I think, I mean, we get so many questions from people, you know, and it has, it just reeks of the grass is greener. It's like, people, I think, find it really difficult to just be like happy and content in what's like, what life is handing them. And I don't know where it comes from, but like, we always, it's like what Wes Nelson said in Poxy Love Island, I am happy, but could I be happier? It's like, we're always like, oh, but there's better for me. There's better for me. And it's like, we have to learn to be content as people, you know?
I agree. And I think,
and if you're not content, change that. If you're like, this isn't, if that relationship is making you happy, but if it's not fulfilling you and satisfying you, and you think that you are, you know, you could get more out of a relationship, or for your future self, you deserve more, you have a different idea of someone who you would settle down with, then act upon that now. Why wait for the relationship to be 4 years or 5 years?
Yeah. Or, yeah, first of all, don't waste their time. Because, like, that would fucking kill me, like, wasting my damn time and, like, or someone wasting my time in a relationship. Like, that's why, you know, I, as soon as in my last relationship, literally as soon as I was like, I knew in my head, I was like, this isn't going to be it. You know, I had to end it because it just didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel right. I wasn't like honoring the good relationship that I did have. And it's really rude to the person that you're going out with to have for them to be living under false pretenses and false hope that you're both on the same page. Like the, you know, the a cornerstone of a relationship is like being on the same page. Now, obviously, we're never going to be mind readers and we're never going to know like if they're exactly, but like that you
that's
have
where
this,
I think checking in comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we like have this common, totally. You have to have this common like understanding, you know, of like, and as you said, checking in and being like, so do you see marriage in our future or do you see like us saving for X or Y or Z? But like,
and that
if
can
she,
come whenever. Yeah. I mean, because I think a lot of the time, like, you know, it's more so men. Like this is obviously different because it's the female who's kind of being a bit more resistant. Mm. But like, it's more so men that like, if you broach the subject of like, what is this? What are your intentions? What are you looking for? I ask that question a lot in dating, and a lot of the time it's kind of, you know, reacted as like, oh, whoa, 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 as if I've literally dropped down on one knee with a Tiffany ring and I'm like, be mine, please, you know, but it's like, I like to just know what the fuck's going on regardless of the time frame, because like if I'm opting in to be dating, I have an intention. I kind of have my mind made up with what I'm looking for, whether it's a fling, whether it's I'm looking for something long term, or, you know, I'm not looking for a boyfriend. I know, and I would always be transparent with that. And I would expect the person that I'm seeing and hanging out with to be transparent as well and know where they're at, or else I'm just not really interested in fucking around with that shit. So I think checking in is important at the start, like at kind of when you're beginning to like get close to someone, and then, you know, continuously, you know, like, because things can change and people can change their minds. So
especially like, well, you know, this is 3 years, so I would consider that like a pretty serious relationship. Yeah. You know, and you know, you're, that's a long-term relationship, and I just don't think it's fair on your boyfriend and fair on your relationship for you to be navigating the relationship knowing or considering a sell-by date where he's completely oblivious to that. Like that would kind of haunt me a little bit, because I would just feel really guilty, and it's also very selfish. Like, I'm sorry for roasting your ass, like I do find that to be a selfish way to navigate through a relationship, to be like, I know that, you know, and I'm talking about in this specific instance that 3 years in, I understand that you can be going out with someone for 6 months and you're kind of like, oh, where is this going, you know, but I'm talking, if you're in a 3-year fucking relationship, like that's a long ass time, you know, you should know. And of course you never, you know, you never know what the world's going to hand you. Like, of course, I thought this with like ex-boyfriends of mine and it didn't work out. And I'm sure the same goes for you, Lindsay. But, you know, at least I knew that when I was in it, I was all in.
It's about intention.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where like, you know, and for honesty. Me with time frame, you know, people, I think regardless of time, because six, like say right now maybe it was different when I was a little, like when I was a lot younger, but like now I wouldn't be dating someone for 6 months before having that conversation. I don't have 6 months to waste. For me, like randomly seeing someone for 6 months and not ever broaching the subject of like, so what would you be looking for? If someone's resistant to that conversation or is unsure, I'm just like not really down with that. Personally.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I guess it's just so individual to the person and the type of people that are in the relationship. But, you know, what I'm talking about is like going out for 6 months. Like I'm trying to think of like the first 6 months of mine and Evan, I probably wasn't like, and I'll be living with him and we'll be saving for, you know what I mean?
I didn't mean those kind of things.
I didn't have this like solid confirmed feeling like that I would now. But what I'm saying is that like, so I can understand how it can grow and you can know, but within 3 years, you should fucking know.
Let's just say, okay, that he's also aware of this because we're not sure of that.
If they've had a conversation around it, then whatever, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're both in something, I'm not sure. I've never been in that situation. I've never been in a situation where we're both committing 3 years out of our life and we're both kind of like, ah, yeah, well, this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I would find that really random.
Random.com.
That's why I really think that, first of all, she knows. She said it to her friends because they're friends now. And he's the only fucking poor fucker in this situation that apparently doesn't know. And, or you just haven't had that conversation. That's how it's coming off to me. And she's saying like, my friends think it's mad and don't know why I'd stay with him if I can't see a future with him. Are they right? I'd say absolutely they're right.
Yeah, but then also like I said at the start, question why you're thinking this. Is it just a kind of grass is greener thing? Do you
Or is you not ready though? Like, it sounds like maybe she doesn't want, like, it could just be a thing of that she's with someone at 24 and she's like, I'm not settling down with the person who I'm with when I'm 24. And in that instance, like, you owe him his single time as well. And not, don't waste any more of his time, because if he's completely committed to you, imagine this was turned. Like, if some, they were so quick to be like, fuck boy, fuck boy, fuck boy. This is fuck boy fucking activity on a huge scale. You're in a fucking serious adult relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be 100% like down to propose in a year.
You wouldn't know.
You know? Like, don't waste his time. Like, just like you deserve someone that you want to be like 100% committed to and that you know, like, you deserve that. And so does he. And Aki Momo, but like, I think your friends are right.
Listen to your pals. Sometimes they can be right, sometimes they can be melt. But let's move on.
All for body positivity and do what you want to your own body. But what is your opinion on body changing procedures in terms of the effect on impressionable young girls' mental health when looking at perhaps unrealistic expectations on how they should look? Lindsay, open the floor. What do you think?
I love a little body positivity chat because it's so oversaturated on Instagram over how we should be accepting our body in 2020. You know, the way I feel like it's like, oh, I should love my tiger stripes. I should love my larger left breast. You know, it's like, it's kind of, I feel like we're publicly disemboweling ourselves by trying to make us look more ugly online. Like, that's what I'm seeing a lot of. And then on the other side, you're seeing a lot of like women who are altering their appearance, getting surgery, whether it's fillers or whether it's more intense surgery. I mean, my opinion on it is, I really do not care what other people do with their body. I really don't. Like, I find it intriguing. I find it interesting. You know, I don't care if they want to lie about it. I don't care if they want to keep it personal. I don't care if they want to show everyone and express, like, and, you know, be explaining what they're doing. Like, we're all watching Julia Hollenblahl. If you're not, follow her. She is an OnlyFans gal and a personal trainer, and she has got like lots of different procedures and has documented them all on her Instagram. Recently she just got ass implants over in Marbella, and she's documenting the whole thing with complete transparency, and I find that like fascinating because I think we're so used to, like, well, what I was so used to, now I don't like follow a lot of those kind of girls just because I'm not really interested in surgery, so to a like a large extent. But I find it really intriguing that she's not just doing the typical before and after, she's doing the like whole process over this surgery. And like, I mean, fair fucks to her, she wanted it, she paid for it, she's got it, she's done what she wants to do. And it's a really intense thing. Like, I mean, personally, I don't think I could surgery wouldn't be for me. I just wouldn't like the upheaval. I couldn't deal with the like downtime and the healing and the pain. I just wouldn't be interested. I'd prefer quicker things. Like, I'd be down. I've not tried it before, but I've always been intrigued by like a bit of lip filler. I've had Botox. You know, I'd be down for more like simple stuff.
Non-invasive.
Yeah, not surgery.
Not going under generally. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, to, I guess, on this is like, I always find this question, this kind of stuff comes up, and we get a bit of this as well, less so obviously on like procedures, more on like what we talk about and like how we talk about things. And I just always find it interesting that people have these made up impressionable young girls
so
in their
true.
Head. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. Like, yes, there are impressionable young people out there. Of course there are. There's always going to be impressionable people. And they're always going to, you know, take influence on things that maybe are them acting on insecurity and stuff. And that's an unfortunate part of life. Like, people have done this forever. You know, people have been getting not even surgery, like dyeing their hair because of insecurities, or, you know, getting eating disorders, like so many things.
Piercings, tattoos.
Yeah. And it's a really sad part of life that, like, you know, so much worth is put in our looks. And this is where I find the like conversation around body positivity kind of falls a bit short. And we're actually going to be talking about this on Triple X Girls this month, so we won't go too much into it because we're going to be giving all of our juicy
the juicy name dropping tea goes on Triple X Girls, where y'all get an extra freaking podcast once a month.
Exactly. So, you know, but I feel like where we should be focusing on these quote unquote impressionable young girls is talking to them about how, like, you know, the way that they feel about their body shouldn't be their entire self-worth. And it should be less of, like, it should be more of a, like, dare I say, like a philosophical approach rather, or like holistic rather than just it always being so visual. You know what I mean? And like, I find that the conversation can be so one or the other. It's either I love my stretch marks and I'm so fucking delighted about all this kind of shit that I have, rolls and cellulite and all this kind of stuff. Or it's like, you know, I acted upon my insecurities and I got filler. It's like we're kind of told that we're only allowed to have one or two options. And I think where, you know, I'm not down with that conversation of like, you know, people having body procedures and it affecting all these impressionable young people.
Or the weight being on those.
Exactly.
Those people who are choosing to get like surgery and document it or not document it and it's obvious and they want to lie about it, whatever their personal kind of.
There's definitely a nuance to it. Like one thing that I do find frustrating, obviously now, like a kind of body, unrealistic body expectation would be like, you know, this tiny waist and this huge ass. And I know that like loads of fitness models and stuff have had like secret BBLs, and I think that's quite shady to not disclose. Like, I don't think that everyone should have to disclose every fucking mill of filler or Botox or whatever the fuck they've had in their body. But if you are like something like a fitness Instagrammer, right, and your whole income is based upon like you selling fitness programs and you're like booty workouts, you know, we see them all over the fucking internet. Mm-hmm. I do find that like false advertising, you know, like you could actually, you know, make a bit more of a like a law kind of fucking ASAI thing on it, where you're like, if there's some influencer right there with a big fake fucking ass and she's being like, here's how you get my ass, like that I find quite toxic and I find that like morally wrong, you know. But I also don't think that like all of the onus should be on people who just decide to go for, you know, surgery if they want it. Like, you know, people need to be told and empowered through like, you know, that you can make decisions for yourself, not like, you know, putting all the blame on these like influencers who get their fucking tits done. Like if they're going to get their tits done, and whether they're going to show it or not, it really, there's always going to be someone who is insecure and gets it done. And they're not like, to point the finger at an influencer or like whatever the fuck it is just a bit like, you know, where like there's no real proof behind that.
I think the only thing that's worrying about, say, like, you know, normalizing surgery and everything like that is the kind of idea of being impressionable or getting influenced by something online if it's not being transparent. So that's why I really enjoyed Julia Holland Bilal's Instagram and how transparent she was, because she really showed the intensity of that surgery. Like, she was carrying around blood in a bag.
Yeah, I think that's like, if you're gonna go transparent, that's how you go about it. You show like all the gnarly.
Well, I think that was so helpful. Like, she was pissing out of a freaking water bottle. She shot standing up, like God knows where the thing landed, but like that is incredible. Because like if I was maybe more interested in surgery, or someone who would be more like impressionable, and I could see like a before and after or whatever, I would maybe like, I think it's intriguing. We are trying to get Julia on. I've never like looked into surgery because I've never been interested, but I don't know how that works. And I think that's more so on the surgeons. Fuck the fucking influencers, like dear God. But like, I don't know, like, are you aware, like, you know, Julia was showing this on her stories about like the preparation, the aftermath, the during, the this, the that. I'm not sure if you book in for surgery, are you aware of that? You know the way?
Yeah.
Hopefully that's on like the surgeons have to give like full disclosure over how intense the surgery is.
Yeah, like, you usually have like a pre-op, but I think that's where it comes into like, you know, looking into your surgeon, who the fuck is doing this to you.
But also that's still personal, you know, like that's your own journey, you know, with us, with like getting Botox and fillers and whatever, you know, sometimes we'd go in and like, we'd be listening. We're like, just fucking inject us. But like the, you know, we go to people who like.
Doctors should have a duty of care, you know, where they should want to give you as much information as possible.
But what I'm saying is sometimes they do, and sometimes the person on the receiving end is just like, just fucking inject me, just like in one ear, out the other.
Yeah.
You know, the way, and then they mightn't be, because like it's really complex. Like these surgeries are like really complicated. Like women have died having butt implants.
Well, you're always, you're going to.
Well, there's like obviously like dodgy always, motherfucker and doctors and shit like that. So like,
you're getting
the onus is always on you. We need to just accept that. And there's no way to live your life other than like, and I mean, of course we get like, the onus can't be on your reception of like an Instagrammer or someone that you're seeing in a magazine. Like, it wasn't Kate Moss's fault that I wanted to be really skinny when I was growing up.
It's part of a bigger system.
It is. And it's just like,
I mean, it is crazy. Like, In a sense, it is crazy that like surgery now has just become way more accessible. As in like it's cheaper than it's ever been. You're able to, so many different routes you can go through, like going to Turkey has become really normalized to get like veneers. But like we don't view things like veneers and hair transplants in the same regard as we do BBL and boobs. I don't really know why, because they're both still really, really big procedures. Like you're getting your teeth shaved down,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting foreign objects put in your mouth by in a country that you don't really know where it is. Same with hair transplant surgeries. Like there's so many things that like it is wild that we can do these to ourselves. And it is crazy that it has become so much more accessible to people. But I think you just have to take, as Lindsay said, take the onus away from like these quote unquote young impressionable girls or these influencers who want to spend their fucking OnlyFans money on BBL. Like it's like at the end of the day, you're you. And if someone like, I mean, the amount of times that I felt insecure in my life and I've been like, I'd love to get this or I'd love to get that, I would love to get this. Like I never got fucking like, you know, these lipo on my this or, you know, like all this kind of shit. Because after a while you have to realize with these surgeries, like there's a huge weeding out process, as in like, you're like, okay, I might want a BBL. First, what do I do? Look up how much it is. I'd say that is about 20 grand minimum to get fucking ass implants. Like if tits are 10, I'm going to presume your ass is way bigger. Then you're going to think, okay, you're going to have to pre-op. And like, you know, there's all these steps that like the young 17, 15 year impressionable girls, first of all, can't get those, you know, procedures. You have to be 18, I'm pretty sure, to have like something like a fucking BBL or your tits done, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's a lot of like, have some faith in like the medical professionals as well, you know, that way. And, you know, I think like in a lot of surgery now, again, completely depends on the, how good your doctor is, I'm sure. They're pretty good at spotting people with like body dysmorphia and stuff like that and kind of turning them away from surgery, you know? So you really? Do have to, yeah.
I see a lot of people, I'm like, what the fuck? But like, I mean, what kind of...
I know, people are.
For me, I'm like, going to good doctors. I'm getting impressioned by like all this online shit and I'm like, it never seems to end. So that's why I'm so careful about never opting into that shit. Like I have been ooing and aahing over lip fillers for like so many years, and now I've just decided I don't need them. If I wanted them, I would have got them. Yeah. So they're obviously not for me.
Yeah. And that's like, what I think, what I mean. Yeah, it's like if you really want it, you'll make sure to get it.
But I just look at, I do think it is definitely, like I will say, I do think it's a toxic thing to get into. I mean, like I think altering yourself, tweaking, like I got hair extensions the other week, I love them. It amped up my confidence. They're fun. But you know, I do see people online and it's just like, wow.
It can be slippery slope vibes.
You've gotten a nose job, butt implants, what next? Da-da-da-da. It's like, when are you going to actually like yourself that you don't have the need to alter yourself? I don't know. Well, you know.
It can be a slippery slope. And I think that's where the, not danger, but like where the scary thing is comes into it with like young people who get a lot of money very quick, like on OnlyFans or Instagrammers, or you know what I mean? Like if you're like 21 and you just got like a shit ton of fucking cash to burn.
I think it's who you hang around with, because we saw it with say like all the Geordie Shore people, like.
Yeah, but they also got a lot of money.
I know, but one, like, I mean, if I was hanging around with girls with balloon lips, balloon asses, tiny waists, and that was like seen as the like norm,
mm-hmm.
like it's kind of like the company you keep. Like if totally, I'm hanging around with people who are doing bag every day, what am I going to be doing? Eating cheesecake? So it's like, you know, it is kind of, be careful of who you kind of follow, who you are like looking up to. Like that's, again, the onus is on mm-hmm. you. So, I mean, it's wild to think that, like, I mean, it fucking saddens me when I see, like, because I went through the whole journey of Geordie Shore and I'm like, it is sad to mm-hmm. see how those girls look now. Oh, and I don't give God, a fuck yeah. if that's body shaming. They look fucking awful compared to how they did when they first, like, I mean, when they started their shit and they were like, I think when Charlotte G. Shore, when she got like lip fillers and, you know, she probably had Botox, maybe cheek fillers or something like that before her nose job, I think she looked great. And then she just went that too mm. far. And I think every single bitch who was on that show, bar Vicky Pattinson randomly, has gone too far with surgery.
Vicky Pattinson was probably too concerned with her fucking eating disorder, unfortunately.
Vicky Pattinson. Oh yeah, she was dropping and put.
She had a huge eating disorder and has come out and talked about it. So that just shows you, it's like, even if you're not fucking up your face, you could be fucking up your insides, you know? And I think 100% it comes with like getting fame, being around people who, where that is normalized, and a lot of money, because these things do cost a lot of fucking money.
You know, it's money, or like a lot of them get them for free.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're celebrity status, you know, that way. Yeah. So it's like, you know, your average young 17, 18 year old girl is not going to be.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you have a following, and that's also dangerous because like, you know, you can have people sliding in your DMs when you have a few followers being like, so would you be interested in this? And you're like, oh, it's free. And it's kind of like more, maybe you would never have thought about it before until it comes in your DM. So who knows?
I think like if you're following someone who's getting a lot of work done, just notice how they talk about it, how transparent they're being. Like, you know, I don't think everyone has to completely disclose every fucking time they get a unit of Botox in their head. But if they're drastically changing their appearance and also making a lot of money off said appearance, I think it is, you know, it's a sign of a good character if they're at least in some way open about it. And if they show the downside as well, that's even better, especially the more serious the surgery is. Like Julia, like fair fucking play to her showing those bags of blood. That made me be like, right, absolutely never am I getting a BBL.
Same.
Don't need one, but never in my fucking life.
And she was getting hate over, like, with that, we spoke about it on X-Gals, like with that personal trainer. And
oh,
it's
my
like,
God. If anything, she probably turned people off.
Oh my goodness, 100%.
And I said that to her in her message. I was like, fair fucking play to you. I was like, you are going to at least give someone like a realistic idea.
So did
of
I. Yeah. I was like, that's amazing.
Is.
Like, I mean, and she's being fully transparent. She's like, I can't bear this anymore. I can't deal.
Back is killing me.
Sleeping
lie
on my front, like, oh, I mean, but she's obviously content with her decision. Like, she wanted it. She was aware of the, you know, traumatic kind of downtime and can handle
did
it.
Did her
like,
research, all the
fair
rest.
Fucking play to her.
Fair fucking play to her.
All right, next question. How to get over anxiety when you start liking someone. I know I should be enjoying the talking stage, but for some reason, I'm just terrified of being ghosted / turning him off all of a sudden. Okay, so do you think this is the kind of like initial texting before they've actually met because of...
Yeah, I think so. Or like maybe they've met and they've just been chatting, but they're kind of texting more than seeing
Let's
each
open
other.
It up a little bit into the whole, like the first kind of 3 months maybe of dating when you're not really sure if this is a solid thing, you're not really sure what they think of you.
Yeah.
And I think we do all, like, we hear so much about ghosting. It's like everywhere, that word. And we're so like, oh God, when is this going to end? So what do you think?
I think that at the start of a fling or whatever it feckin' is, like there is always this weird like kind of tightrope that you're walking on where it's like, it's anxiety, but it's also kind of butterflies, but it's also a bit like exciting. The unknown is exciting in relationships. And that's why like everyone thinks back on like the first throes of romance as like so amazing and so incredible, because like, you know, that is the exciting and, you know, just part that you're like whirlwind, where you don't know. You're like, does this guy like me? And then you find out he likes you. You're like, oh my God. Or like, is he going to text me? He texts me. You know, like there is a fun in that. And there is like a really, that's a really specific part of a relationship that you don't get back again if you then, you know, see each other after a while. However, I'd be concerned over the word anxiety, and I'd also be concerned over the term turning him off all of a sudden. I'm like, what has gone on in your past, baby girl? Like, have you, it kind of sounds like you have learned to have, that maybe people have, like, guys have maybe gaslit you into being like, or like, you've been made feel like you've turned them off all of a sudden. When like, realistically, like, that's very rare to do that. Like, you could do one thing to someone in the first like month, unless it's really bad, you know, that way. Like, it's like that episode of Sex and the City where she farts around Mr. Big and she's like, ah, he's not going to talk to me anymore. It's like, that's a bad sign on him, you know, that way.
I think, you know, a lot of people are damaged over like this new wave of dating. It's way more cutthroat. You have to have, you know, balls of steel to be able to like get through this unscathed and like with your confidence still intact. And you do have to have an armor of confidence before entering. Like if you're being like, if you're, some people I hear are like, oh, I need a confidence boost and kind of go on Tinder. I'm like, bitch, that's like a mouse just walking into a lion cave, me like, hello, want to chat? Like,
it's like, I want to make new friends. Gonna go to a sesh.
Yeah, yeah. Gonna go like, do drugs.
It's a really crazy place to try and make friends. You're gonna feel really crazy afterwards.
To be honest, I have made a good few friends in that situation. But like, I mean, I think it's just like, I think people get, if you have been treated badly and you don't understand why, if you've been ghosted for a few times or whatever, it can feel really nerve-wracking to like be doing that again. If you're not prepared for that, I don't know. Like, I do think there, you said about the tightrope, that's such a good analogy, because I think it's like the balance of like the kind of like, but the balance has to be like, you know, equal. If you are like more anxious about it and it's giving you more stress in your life and you're like thinking about like, oh God, is he ever going to write back? Is he ever going to write back? What did I do? Maybe I should put something up on Instagram that would entice him to write back. If it's like consuming your life and it's actually not enjoyable, then the balance is off and he probably is kind of not maybe as invested as you. I think
I would look at like his behavior and why you're feeling this way. Like how, because it's completely you're completely capable of riling yourself up, and I've done it myself in these kind of instances of the first few months of like texting or talking to someone, and I've seen friends do it as well where they're like overthinking the whole thing, and I'm like, baby girl, it's grand, you saw him on Saturday. Just because he didn't text you the hour you got home, you know what I mean? I'm like, don't, we can give ourselves anxiety over these things sometimes, and I think it's almost like, as you said, dating right now, and you know, dating is always a really vulnerable place to put yourself, and it's like putting your self-worth up on a platter to some stranger, and you know, the best case scenario is you end up with a fella, the worst case scenario is you end up crushed and with your confidence with a huge knock. But you know, are you kind of riling yourself up because you're kind of preparing for the worst, or is he giving you signals that like he isn't reliable, or are you texting and like, do you find yourself like, you know, when the WhatsApp thing is like, are the majority of the messages all green, not many white messages from him, you know? Is this why you're getting anxiety, or is he giving you anxiety because like he doesn't have an open communication with you, even if it is just those first few texts? Like there's a way that people can talk to you that make, like, do you feel he's trying to play a game with you, or is he trying to kind of keep you, you know, chomping at the bit kind of thing? So ask yourself, like, have a bit of self-reflection, I would say, and be like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Has he given me any reason to feel like this way? If he hasn't, I find a lot of the times both parties, men and women, can fucking, you know, before they've even shagged, they can have themselves broken up, and like they're all like, oh, he doesn't like me, you know, you can fucking you can really get,
and that feeds into the, like, I mean, you wear that shit, like if you're gonna finally meet this motherfucker, you're gonna be wearing your little dress and your cute booties and your little jacket and it's a bit cold, you're also wearing like this mad insecurity and intensity around you, like, and
nothing,
I mean,
is more of a turn off.
I mean, I do think that looking back on like my dating life, when I was a bit more concerned over, say, like ghosting, or when I was a bit more just anxious in general and going out on dates and kind of like, you know, really banking on these dates or really like, I don't know, what does he want, like just being a bit like erratic kind of with my thought work, I do think that a lot of the time my gut had always told me when someone maybe wasn't on the same page as me. And I do think that like it all just goes back to being on the same page. Like if you are, if you're talking to someone, I mean, we see it all the time. We have questions coming in being like, oh, I hate Tinder. Like it just is back and forth. And then I never hear from them again. Like you just haven't met someone who is like vibing with you right now. I don't know.
And that's the unfortunate thing with dating is like you can, you know, fucking hit a load of balls out of the park, but never land a home run. You know,
queen.
And then it's like also you have to kind of, you know, balance it up to yourself. Like I remember Fergal was saying it last week, on the day, or 2 weeks ago, should I say, on the dating episode. And like loads of people were like, I can't believe you said something about like one night stands and you guys didn't like, you know, come up against them. And it was just kind of like, well, I don't think, first of all, that was really his opinion. He was just saying from what he had heard back. And also like, you have to kind of be like, okay, if I'm getting ghosted all the time by guys, I'm not saying it's your fault, but maybe you're like, maybe I'm just not ready for dating right now. Like this has taken a really big hit on me, you know, like not everyone has to be dating and not everyone has to be like putting themselves out there. Cause as Lindsay said, it's a really fucking vulnerable place to be. And you have to be like, especially nowadays, like you have to have like a lot of like belief in yourself. Like this girl needs to like probably, you know, get your belief in yourself better. Like, why are you so afraid of turning him off? Like just be yourself around someone, and if you vibe, you vibe. If you don't, you don't. Like, don't worry about, like, don't put so much pressure on yourself to please someone, or don't put so much pressure on, like, you know, because you're already kind of setting yourself up here to be like, okay, how can I not turn him off? How can I be the girl that he wants to be?
And then just you're putting yourself in a back shelf.
Yeah.
You're like, it's all about him.
Yeah.
I'll just, like, dance to whatever fucking groove he wants.
Ooh.
Da-da. 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 But, like, yeah, I mean, I just, I think last, when I was dating a year and a half ago, I was more like that. I was like, because I think, you know, I wasn't like fully content with who I was. So therefore, when I was going out dating, and I think a lot of people when they're in the dating game is they're looking to meet someone who will fix them or who will like make them happy or who will like, I just want a boyfriend. It's like, okay, you're not going to find a boyfriend if you're not whole in yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find a good boyfriend.
No.
You're finding a damn carer, you know, like
yeah.
girls or and men who are like kind of not in a great position of life. I've been on dates with guys like that who I'm like, you need therapy, not a girlfriend. Yeah. You know,
you need to be paying for this conversation.
But because the world sells us as like relationships being so like important and mm-hmm. like being such an asset to your life, I think sometimes if people are in a vulnerable stage or if they're like not content with their life, they're like, okay, I'll just get a boyfriend, it'll fix everything. But like, you're damaged goods if you're kind of like going into something and you're like really anxious or like your mental health isn't in a good space or you're like, you know, oh, my last boyfriend fucked me over. Please don't do it. It would kill me. You know, like yeah. that's a lot of weight to kind of, you know, be dealing with. So I think like focus on making sure you're whole yourself.
Yeah.
And then enter into the dating world, because like definitely a year and a half ago, I was like all over the place and I was just looking for someone to like, you know, I don't know, I needed to suckle on the teat of a relationship for a while. That's what I thought. But actually, I just needed to yeah. work on my confidence, being satisfied in what I had and not being so like, fuck everyone who's in a relationship. I fucking don't need that, you know, and being kind of like that. Just like, being like content with what life was giving me. And mm-hmm. then like now that I've become more whole and more like, you know, satisfied in who I am and like confident and, you know, it's like someone can come into my life and that would be an asset and I'd...
Yeah.
And if that's, it worked, that's how you it have worked.
To look at it. Yeah. And like, I think you touched on something there as well that like, you know, try not to carry like past bad things that happened to you in dating into the new world, because it's just going to haunt you. You know, if you're just like, if you're seeing this new guy and like 3 months ago you were fucking ghosted by a guy, don't just automatically think this guy's going to ghost you. Obviously have your guard up. I understand that we all have to be kind of like, okay, this is a crazy situation right now. But like, you know, like Lynn said, you do wear that insecurity when you have it. And like, it is annoying. Like we've all been in a situation where you've been seeing some guy and he's been like, every fucking girl's cheating on me. So you better not. And you're like, okay, you've already got me pegged as a fucking cheater. Yeah, like yeah. what? Like,
or people who are like, yeah, I've been cheated. So yeah. I can be a little bit possessive. It's like, oh, great.
I'm mad jealous. It's like,
so I have to deal with the fact that you were fucked around, yeah. even though I had nothing to do with that.
Nothing, didn't even know you existed at that time. So, you know, just if you have been ghosted before, like, unfortunately with a lot of dating is you just have to like fucking hope for the best with these people.
But also a lot of the time if I look back on like when I've been ghosted, when I've been like, it's like it was damn me, and I can look back now it was like, come on bitch, like what the
yeah true.
And I mean, you know, in sense of like, I would have, because I was just like I was saying earlier, I was so kind of like, okay, I just need a boyfriend, I need something to fill this like void, you know. And I feel a lot of girls and people in general just like, okay, that is something ticked off on my mm-hmm. list of things to do, so, or like to have a successful life, you know, you can just get it in your head.
Yeah.
And I think that I was just so consumed. More so consumed with like, because I was like, fuck, I'm having more flings, and like it can feel intense as well, because like, I mean, even this time around dating, it's like, you know, I'll be dating someone for a certain amount of time and then everyone's like, so how is it going? And I'm like, can we just fucking deal with the fact that I'm going to be dating, like, and it's not good? You know, like, I hate when people are like, oh, I thought you liked him. And it's like, it's over. Let's just move on. So sometimes you can feel a bit like on the spot with like, there's a spotlight on you with that kind of stuff. But so sometimes you're like, oh shit, I just need to have a 4 month thing just to keep numb, keep everyone yeah, shutting up yeah, or whatever.
Shut everyone up.
And then you can kind of get a bit hypersensitive about shit not working out because your friends are like, so how's that guy you were seeing? Did he text you back in the end? And you're like, No, but I'm fine. I'm fine about it. But like looking back, I think I was just like not really noticing if I had a lot in common with these people. Yeah. Like, I mean, we probably like got on dates and stuff, but our lives wouldn't have amalgamated together at all.
Like your priority was more like
a boyfriend,
them liking you and being in a relationship, rather than like, is this the guy that I want to be in a relationship with?
Would this work? Do we?
Yeah. Do we have the same values? Do we live the similar life? Like,
and I learned so much through that, but like it did have a lot of like downtime of like, because, you know, looking back, I'm like, of course I wouldn't have ended up with the guy who is, you know, has wanderlust in his bio and wants to travel every year.
Yeah. Like, you openly hate traveling.
Yeah.
Lindsay's an anti-traveler. Not in that way.
Well, but yeah, like, I mean, I need someone who likes to go to Spain every year. Like that would, that is me satisfied. Yeah. I don't need someone who's like, honestly, try Bali. You'd love it. I wouldn't. I don't like long haul flights. and I've seen it on the internet, so I'm grand, you know? So like, you have to kind of just like realize who you are, and then you'll kind of get, you'll understand who you could connect with. So like,
And that goes into the whole like turning him off thing. It's like, girl, you've already got yourself on the back burner. You're already trying to like, I don't know, like mold your personality to something that he would like. Just give your own fucking personality. And if he doesn't like it, then fuck off.
That's the best way, because he's going to find out sooner or later.
Totally. And also, do you like him even that much? I find a lot of the time we can be questioning ourselves so much, and it's like, do you like this fucker even?
Yeah, like, because like girls can be so like hung on a string by guys.
Yeah, they're like, finally a guy who will like, talk to me. I hope I don't get him to ghost me. It's like, or do you fancy him?
Or if he's being weird with like, you know, if he's doing that kind of like fuckboy shit of like, you know, not really writing back, being kind of like
making
hot and cold. And then you're like, do you like that? Because he's showing you himself. Like, he's showing you that he can talk to you loads 1 week and then like for no reason be fucking off, you know, whatever. Do you like that?
And that's not going to change.
No.
And some people can be fine with that, but it's like people show their communication skills pretty fucking early.
But intense anxiety, to wrap it up, intense anxiety is like a red light, you know?
Intense anxiety, yeah.
Think of the tightrope. Keep it balanced.
Yeah, keep it balanced. You're going to have a bit of anxiety. You're going to have a bit of butterflies. But if one takes over the other, like, because I think the butterflies, if they can take over too, is a bit like a bit of a red flag of like,
you're blind.
It's like blinded. Yeah, like, oh my God, it's just whirlwind. It's like, no, like it needs to be, you need to stay on the fucking tightrope, girls.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, okay.
Another one of Jalen's is very juicy. Hey girls, I recently found Viagra in my boyfriend's car. I know he saw it, which is making things kind of awkward between us. This is how I know it's not one of the lad's jokes, etc., as he's usually very open. I want to bring it up to him more in a way, and that I don't, and I want to be there for him and let him know he can be open about things with me, especially if something is wrong. I can imagine he's embarrassed as we're only 21. Any advice on how to approach it, or if I should at all? Thanks, kiss.
I love that. I want to be there for him.
I know.
It's Viagra consumption.
Those like awkward moments of like, it's like if your fella like opens, he's like, hey, look at this fucking guy's video I sent. And then it's like open on some like crazy porn video from a WhatsApp group. You're like, oh, okay.
Or in their Safari, you're like, you know, when they're like, oh, hold on, I want to show this guy's video on YouTube. And
recently
it's like, you
searched.
Porn. That's just ignore.
Recently searched Julia Holbano.
Yeah, oh fucking hell. Or the girl equivalent is when like you're showing something to your fella on Instagram and the last three is their exes in the drop down. You're like, and you just don't say anything. It makes it so much worse, the silence. I hate that. You're like,
and you're like,
or like their mom on Facebook. And you're just like, anyway, back to what we were searching. Yeah. Funny video.
Or like, when you know a relationship is wrong, you're like,
yeah. Signs that I'm in a toxic relationship.
Signs he's manipulative and you're perfect.
I know. Once Jimmy found one of those.
Oh yeah.
One of those quizzes. It was so fucking awkward.
Then what is it with girls? Whenever we're thinking of breaking up, I do not. When I was thinking of breaking up Michael, I was doing these fucking quizzes online. Should I break up with my boyfriend?
To be honest, it makes it a lot more fun. It's like a game.
It is. Like, this is a way that women compartmentalize. Fun
I know.
Games.
And I think for some words that we see like regurgitated around, like gaslighting, financial control, all this shit, I was like, what the fuck? Oh, I need to learn more. And there's only one way, a quiz.
There's only one goddamn
a cosmopolitan.co.uk quiz. But gas, they're very fun. And so, I remember I was like, did one and then Jimmy did it and he was like, well, turns out I'm also in a manipulative relationship. I'm like, you answered the questions wrong.
You manipulated the answers.
Yeah.
Dare I say. Dare I say. So she has found
Viagra
in her fella's car.
And they're 21.
They're 21, which, by the way, I don't think age should come into it because, I mean, like if he is taking it for whatever reason, like
she just put it in.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying she's like, I can imagine he's embarrassed because we're 21. So it's like,
well, obviously it's more socially acceptable for older men to take Viagra.
Yeah, yeah, but I just want to, you know, let it out there that many men of all ages take it.
Very true.
But very also, we have to remember,
a lot of men should be taking it more because, dear God, the amount of men I feel like, oh, I'm soft. It's like, take Viagra.
Yeah, it's like, there's a cure.
When you're buying the bag, also buy Viagra. Is it that fucking hard? Who are you fooling here? Like, it's every weekend and you have this flaccid goddamn cocktail sausage uncooked.
True.
In some bitch's hand. Take Viagra. But anyway, this is different because it is
it's our fella.
A relish.
It's a relish. But I also think that, like, we need to, women are great at, like, destigmatizing our own things. You know, they're like, destigmatize tampons, destigmatize talking about periods, destigmatize all this shit about us. But then it's like, the minute we see a fucking Viagra sometimes, or like with the minute a guy asks us to put our finger up their hole, they're like, ah!
Yeah, yeah. They're like, you want me to do what? They're you like, fucking gay.
You sick freak. No one ever told me I was going out with a gay man.
Yeah,
like,
for God's sake.
Or like a man who could never get it up. Like,
remember we got that question? My boyfriend asked me to put my finger up his arm. Is he gay?
It's like,
no, he's bi.
He's they, them. Yeah. But, you know, so I think that we also have to realize that, like, Viagra, while yes, is a prescriptive drug for, you know, what's it?
Incompetence?
ED, like erectile dysfunction.
Oh, right, yeah.
It is also taken recreationally. What?
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah. I just forgot it was that. Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, so like men who can't get it up.
Yeah. Very common, huns.
Extremely common. And can be, first of all, like, I mean, I'm no doctor, but like from what I know.
We are a dick doctor, though.
I'm a dictor. we put the dick in dictator.
Yes.
So, but you know, it can also be, you know, you can have erectile dysfunction that can be like, you know, long term, and it can be like a really bad problem. But you can also be a thing that, like, guys can go through stress and it comes out in their boner or doesn't come out, should I say.
Sometimes, like, it comes out in my, like, if I'm stressed, I'm dry.
Yeah, like there's all sorts. So, you know, if he does have a, you know, first of all, if you find Viagra in your fella, like around your fella or in your fella's drawer or in his car or anything like that, it doesn't mean, like, don't go to the worst thing of like, he's like crying himself, he can never fucking get a boner. It's like, first of all, I've known guys also who've been like, here, what you want, a bluey there for the weekend? Yeah. And the lads are just like, yeah, man, haha, put it in my car little glove compartment and not really think about it again. So that could 100% be an option.
But also, like, I mean, you're 21, so let's, you know, you're not as experienced as us two, you know. So I mean, I remember, like, when I was 21, a condom seemed like the most awkward thing in the world. I was like, oh God, it's so awkward trying to rip it open and him putting it on, you know, that kind of stuff. So, like, I think maybe if he is noticing that, like, he finds it hard to get it up, pop, maybe, if this is the case, and then he's like, okay, I'll just get Viagra, sort that out. Does he really need to be like, hey, so like, disclose that to you? Because he might be fearful of it being like awkward, like, and kind of ruining the sex. Like, if you're having good sex, then
do you disclose when you go in and give your fanny a little wash before you ride?
Yeah, you know that meme that's like, when the bitch comes out and I'm licking her and it tastes like the hand soap.
Oh yes. But, like, you know what I mean? So this,
or, you know, when you someone's licking you out and they, you can just feel the hair.
Yeah.
Like the, you're long, like, oh, hair, oh, from your head.
Oh yeah. Oh,
from your
I've had
head.
Guys fully take it out.
If anything, it's like,
it's such a weird, it's horrible, a very, feeling. Because, like, every time I shower, I end up with like so much, like half my damn head of hair up my ass crack.
I know.
It's insane. I'm like, there's more?
It's disgusting. When it gets wrapped around the clit a bit, and you're like,
oh, that's never happened to me. Oh God.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, so, like, I mean, first of all, like, girls can also feel like, you know, they see Viagra and they think that, like, I know, they feel, they can feel cheated, like, if he's been taking it. You don't know, first of all, if he's taken it. Like, he might just have a little Viagra hanging around. Some guys have a little emergency stash. I've known many a guy who's had that. But even if he is taking it on the reg, at least he is someone. Because, do you know what, right? Men can be so fucking, like, get it in their ego about their boner and, like, feel, like, so embarrassed about having to admit that they can't get it up. Like, I mean, if he's 21 and he has noticed that there are maybe some times where he might need a little bit of medical attention, and I'm not talking foreplay, I'm talking Viagra, at least he's able to go to the doctor and get a fucking prescription for it and be like, okay, now I have that sorted. Because it's nothing more annoying than a guy who can't get it up and doesn't admit it.
That's, yeah.
Like, hold on. Hold on. Like, yeah, doing that, God. And you're like,
what are your experiences with soft dicks?
Soft dicks.
I was with a guy and he, anytime we changed position, it would go soft.
That's infuriating. I've been with guys where like they've gone through phases of like not being as hard as they usually are. Like where it might have been like a time in their life or like, you know, like where like, especially boyfriends where like we would always be having great sex and then there might be like a couple of weeks, 2 weeks or so where they're like, can't kind of, like they can get it up, but maybe not like.
It's not, so then it kind of slips out a bit more.
Kind of slips out or like, you know, sometimes like, do you ever get it where you're like giving a guy head and like I can kind of feel when, no pun intended, when I can feel their head is wandering, like they're like thinking about something else and the dick kind of goes a little not as
so
hard.
Awkward,
you're like
having a flaccid dick in your mouth.
No, oh. I haven't had a flaccid one in my mouth in years, thankful. But I'm just talking about, you know when you can feel the pressure goes down a little bit, like a balloon kind of deflating, and then it goes back up again.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it's so normal to happen. And like, women take it for granted that like, you know, we don't have to have this visible horniness all the time. Like, you know, when you're, you know, we've all been in the situation where like a guy might be fingering you and it's like not really doing much, but just whack a bit of lube in there and you're grand. Men have this like physical like thing that like, if it ain't hard, it ain't going in.
They have a spire.
Yeah.
And like, it has to be, yeah, it has to be like, and it's all dependent on that.
Yes, it's literally like, oh, if this isn't hard, like it's going to be this weird bendy dick situation.
It's just a weird like,
you're breaking your banjo string.
Oh God, it's awkward. Like, I mean, I've been in a good few positions with a soft with a soft,
no pun intended.
Yeah, a soft old langer. And it's just because I always go into care mode. Like, it's fine. Oh no.
I know, and I'd say that's the worst.
I know.
But I would do the same.
I don't know how to, or else I'm just like, it's grand.
I'm like, oh, it's fine.
Because I don't know how to, like, so this girl's obviously saying that she wants to kind of like be there and kind of be like, this is cool. I've seen it. I'm not like, I'm a bit like, I'm wondering maybe what's going on. Is it the fact that, because it could, I guess you want to know. So if I was this girl, I would just approach it in a real like, simple manner. Out of the bedroom, not in the bedroom.
No slagging.
Not when you're naked.
Yeah, no.
Are you taking it for a hike? Yeah. Only joking, babe.
No slagging mode. Don't be like, well, I'm sure you'll be keeping in there where you keep your fucking dick pill. You know, don't.
Yeah.
No, none of this passive aggressive bullshit. Like, I would just try bring it up. I mean, it's always going to be awkward.
Bring it up.
Try bring it up. I mean, unfortunately, obviously hindsight is 2020, but the best time to bring it up would have been just in the car, just to break the ice, because that's the easiest time just to be like, is that fucking Viagra?
They could have been going somewhere there. Like, say if they were like just about to go into the Maz for like a christening or something.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Oh, here, grab me that Pavlova. And what the fuck is the story with that Viagra?
I would
just be like, here,
But you know what I mean? I think like, you know, sometimes
snappy, get it over.
Snappy out of the way, because then it's just not this big unspoken like thing of like, Viagra is on your car. But you can totally bring it up and just be like, by the way, I saw the Viagra in your car and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm cool with the Viagra, but just like, what's going on? And then he'll, do you have to take like, a lot, or was it just like when the lads gave you it?
Sometimes,
or?
Guys, like, I've known guys who just take it for when they might be out drinking.
Yeah.
And they just have them. Like, I've known guys to be handing each other Viagras. I know, very illegal activity, but like, they'll be doing it. They'll be like, ah, there's Viagra for you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, keep that me fucking dick. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
because it's a male conversation. Like, if women had boners, we would be like dropping that shit on the reg.
Yeah, men are really fucking open about Viagra.
Yeah. Like, I was only saying it to my friend the other week because he's having a bit of a soft dick situation. And I was like, look, you do enough bleeding bag. Would you not get the fucking blue pill while you're at it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also once was in my friend's car. We found a Viagra pen. Like a pen that had Viagra written on it. And I was like, oh my God, that is fucking gas. Is your dad like loving the Viagra? So much gas. So that he's getting free gifts.
Yeah, they're like, thank you for your loyal customer.
But yeah, like, it's cool. I mean, I think it should be cool conversation between like I had with my friend. You know, that was just like, yeah, no, you're right, I probably should. Yeah, actually, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
I've had exes who've used it.
Yeah. And like, it's like if your mom, you know, when you're younger, sees your fucking pill or something, you know, it's like, obviously, but like, it's as big a deal as that. Like, it's like, it's a pill that some guys take to get a boner the odd time. And whether he, like, if you're, as you said, Lindsay, if you're having good sex, whether he's palming them or not doesn't really make a difference. I mean, you know, sometimes also people are entitled to like their privacy, especially if it's a medical thing, you know, that way. Like if it is a thing that like he maybe was diagnosed with ED, or like, you know, that he has like an issue with, you know, getting an erection. I don't know. You might have to just like, some people just don't like to talk about like medical stuff like that.
And it
like,
could come from anywhere.
Especially if he's treated it. You know, that way, if he's like treating it and he's getting boners and riding, like he's probably just like, do you know what? Why do you give a fuck, honey? Because I'm getting it in.
Just jump in that dick and shut the fuck up, bitch.
And fucking a nice old hard one. Where fair pat you?
Yeah, would you prefer a soft one?
Yes.
Okay. I know you guys have talked about feminism before, but I was wondering if you believe in concepts like mansplaining, manspreading, male egos, etc., etc. I work in a male-dominated industry, and I'm pretty feckin' certain that a lot of men are like this, especially around the femme-presenting women. Do you agree, or do you think it's a load of shite?
Okay. A loaded question, but I like it. I like it a lot. We haven't like touched on this for a while. People always love to be like, I can't believe they don't call it themselves. They said they hate feminists. They would not be where they are if it wasn't for feminism. It's like, honey, we've been through this. We understand this. We just don't use the word. It ain't a big thing. But concepts like mansplaining and manspreading and male egos, I think like, we did an episode on Triple X Gals again last month on like blackfishing. And I'm like, is it a term? And is it a term that it can explain a certain thing? Absolutely, yes. But in terms of mansplaining, like anyone can be a condescending cunt, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we have this handy little word for a man to do it, like I think like mansplaining, the idea is that like a guy, and guys can do this where you're like, do you know the way, like when you're driving the car and they're like, look, when you're driving the car, the gear stick is like this. And you're just like, yeah. And like, I'm sure it can feel very like we're kind of taught like through. And this is why some like aspects of feminism, like more talking points kind of frustrate me a little bit, because it can be very much like men against women, you know, that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And very much like, hey, women are put down by men all the time. Honey, have you never seen a condescending bitch to a fella?
I've all seen that the time.
A lot of the time. Yes. Both sexes.
Pretty much 50-50.
Yes. Both sexes can be fucking condescending to each other. I can be condescending to Evan sometimes and I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I know. Well, not that I know that, but I mean, like, I have been, yeah, sometimes I can be like, stupid, thick bastard. You know, like,
yeah.
You can be like, oh, for God's sake. I think, like, women are more so condescending to men, maybe about their, like, emotional maturity and how they, or even just some.
Or mammying them.
Or even topical stuff that they, like, what do you think of this? And they're like, well, I don't know, I've never heard of it. Like, you've never heard of that?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
And it's like a
Jenny, he's never heard of that, you know, like you can be, but it is just like in general, it's like, it is not a gender-based thing. Like there are some really condescending people and it's like, watch how you talk to people, regardless of it being like, I think totally in the past few years, labels have gone crazy. We have a label for everything and they just get my waddy down, regurgitated. People like the power that a label holds. Like if I, you know, was in a workspace with a man and said, you're mansplaining me, that can be seen as a bit more of a knife in the throat than kind of like, oh, could you maybe not be as condescending or whatever? Okay, no need to talk down to me. When you have a label on something, like, you know, we dealt with that with our cancellation. The biggest kind of issue was that we were labeled and slapped with a label with something that, you know, once you're labeled with something, you feel like it's tattooed on your skin. You're like, oh my God, people think this of me. You know, it's, I feel like women do it very much in conversations about like, I see it a lot with, you know, relationship talks. We can instantly be like, he's gaslighting you, he's manipulating, like labeling these things that then like can kind of, you're like, oh my God.
It's like this obsession with pathologizing everything. And with like mansplaining, like I can understand if you're in a male dominated industry and you're like working with a lot of men, it can be really easy for you to then all of a sudden be like, they're mansplaining. They think that they know better than me because they're a man. But like for me personally, I never see anyone as mansplaining because like I'm confident in my opinions, but I'm also open to someone explaining something to me further. And I don't feel that because I'm a woman, I know less. And I know you might think that like that's them, but I think a lot of the time it can be a projection where you're like, it can be like, and I understand, like I'm not even like, you know, getting at you. Like if you are in a male dominated industry, like you do have to have your guard up a lot and you do have to take on a lot of like kind of more, stereotypically male personality traits, because, you know, if you're communicating with a lot of men, like, what isn't going to really work is being like, so guys, you know, let's sit around and talk about our fannies. You know, you do kind of have to meet them on their level to a point. If you're outnumbered, you know, just like if a man works in a female, I've worked in a female dominated industry for years, and like the men who work there had to adapt to how women talk. You know, you have to come down a level if you're kind of, you know, if the numbers are kind of outweighing you. But like, don't always presume that the guy is doing this because he feels that he knows better than you. Like, sometimes they might know better than you. Sometimes they can be a condescending prick, and that can be true too. And just know, have, you know, be solid in your own opinions. And if there is a guy that you feel like is doing that, like, come up against them with what you believe, and don't try and just, I just feel like, take that idea of like gender or sex, like, out of it.
100%.
Because they're not thinking of that. The man is not like, I'm going to tell her the stupid fucking woman, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about you being a woman. And if they are, then they're just very immature and probably sexist. Now, manspreading, honey, please. This is the one that fucking kills me. Women manspread. It's called putting your fucking handbag on the
and bus all your shopping.
And all your shopping on the seat beside
you. Your brown Thomas bag, because you're like, I'm not putting that on the floor.
And not fucking twitching when someone is looking for a seat. And I've seen older people pre-COVID times when, you know, we could sit beside each other on the bus. I've seen old people get on my bus and girls sitting there on the phone, yeah, sound like I can anyway, and like three Brent Thomas bags and not fucking moving them for an inch.
Or their big backpack just sat there.
And you know, like, what you do when a man has his fucking, because I used to get the fucking rush hour bus every day, so it is a fight for the seat.
Yeah.
If I saw a man with his legs, I'd just go, can you move over there? They always move.
And I see people do that to women all the time, like, sorry, I'm just going to sit there, and they like give a fucking snarl and put their bag down as if it's the worst. It's like, you're going to come across rude people.
Yes.
Condescending people, people who think they know everything in work, or like who don't respect you in the workplace. And it's, you know, I think take away the reasoning. I think almost like if you're saying like, who's mansplaining, it's like putting a little jokey name on like just something that's not cool. And that's like making...
That's actually rude behavior.
Yeah. Like, I have been mansplained by bitches in work.
Yeah.
Who like are just looking down at me for whatever reason, and I don't need their reasons. Mm-hmm. I need it not to happen. So mm-hmm. I will come up against that in a way of like, you know, I feel like from what I hear of like my male friends working with women, I feel like, you know, you gotta leave the feminism shit maybe out of the work conversation, because unless it's very much in your face, I feel like if you instantly go to the like the gender thing, it can, men get really kind of put off by that, and it creates this massive awkward imbalance and tension in the workplace, and like a kind of political stance in work. And it's very, I think, like, deal with the, you know, instead of being like, I'm a woman, respect me, how dare you speak down to me, I know what I'm talking about, if you're just like, I don't need you to say that to me, I'm like, you can come up against it in a like non-argumentative, confident way to just pop that, get rid of that, instead of being like making it so politicized by being like,
yeah, like,
you know, I'm a woman, there's no fucking way, I have a fanny and a tampon, don't dare. It's like, ugh.
And sometimes
it's not about that for a minute. Yeah. It's about the goddamn job. Just get it done.
It's about your fucking spreadsheets, honey. Like, yeah. And, you know, like, there can be times in work where you just have to kind of suck it up and also know when to stand up for yourself. Because I feel, and also like, if you continue to say something, you're going to start believing it. You know what I mean? This is why, like, you know, we're always asked about like tattle life and everything. And I'm like, just don't read that shit. Cause I think like if you can indulge in that, especially if you're reading about yourself, you start to believe it, or you start to believe aspects of it, because you're like reading it over and over and over and over.
It's just in your life.
Yeah.
Regardless if you know, it exists, you're welcoming it into your every day.
Yeah. So if you're kind of like giving everything the diagnosis of mansplaining or male egos in your workplace, you might be missing the nuances, you know, that way. You might be missing that, like, actually, do you know what? I was doing those fucking spreadsheets really wrong, and that guy was right. This is an easier way to do it. Now, maybe he went about it in a kind of bossier way. And I think that, like, you know, a lot of feminism as well kind of expects like everyone to communicate the same. And I do think, you know, there aren't major differences between men and women, but where there are differences, they can be quite big. And a lot of it, I think, is communication. Women are really, really strong at communication, and we're very good at kind of getting on someone's level, making sure we understand, and also being quite empathetic to other people's feelings. Now, it can go to our detriment too, because we can be too tiptoey around their feelings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Men in the workplace, from my experience, because I've worked, as I said, in a female industry, a dominated office, and one that was, well, I'd say maybe 60-40 men to women. And the way in which that they communicate does not always take into other people's feelings as a priority. It more takes into like the end point of the work as a priority, and that can come across as really rude. But I don't think it's always because they like see you as lesser because you're a woman. Like, I have seen men condescend other men just as much as I've seen them condescend other women.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's more of a workplace specific kind of thing. But like, you know, in general in life, like, everyone has an ego. This male ego thing.
Isn't that like totally not feminist to like completely be like lumping all, you know, the male gender in one idea and being like, men have egos, bigger egos than women.
Women are perfect.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's the man's problem. It's like, we are different and that's a fact. But, you know, so why are you shocked at certain differences and different ways of communicating? Like, I mean,
why do you think we fight with our fellas?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a lot harder to work out arguments with like your boyfriend than it is your gal pal.
I mean, do you ever work them
out? We had another question, actually, just to move on slightly. We had another question that was like, have you and Jenny ever had to record like mid argument? Absolutely not. If Jenny and I have an argument, it's sorted very fucking quickly.
Yeah.
And whereas anytime we've been fighting with like, oh yeah, totally. But like it just is a natural. It's always been like that.
Very true.
But like with men, oh my God, it takes us, like me and Jenny are like on the phone, we're crying, we're like, it takes ages to work out these things with men.
Oh, and sometimes...
And it's just a communicative difference and like, you know, different needs, different ways of handling situations and whatever. So like,
Sorry, on that, Linz, I just, one more thing on like fighting with your boyfriend and stuff like that. Like, I find that you always, with women, get a very clear, you know, very clear end to the fight. Like, it's very much... We're spoken, like, we are over this fight. We have moved on.
Yeah.
With men, where the issue is with me is that, like, I can have a fight with Evan and I want to, and this can be a thing of women that we really love to talk, I want to talk it into the ground. Like, I want to be like, we are resolving this. And he's kind of resolved it in his own head, but I'm not like 100% on the same page as him. And that's why I find it hard with men with their communication. Cause I feel like with a woman, I always get a very clear sign that we are over it. With a man, I'm like, they're like, I'm over it. And I'm like, but we haven't spoken about every single aspect of what we said.
Or even like, say if you and I get over something and then like for like days after, we're like, kind of like, well, I'm sorry again. I really didn't mean it. You know, we kind of go on about it. With a man, if you do that, if you're like,
they're like,
fuck's sake, I said I was over it. You're like, but you're clearly not, because you're shouting at me. You're making me cry again. And they're like, because we fucking got over it. You're like, it's so intense.
And that's where I think that can be a bit of a female ego thing. Like, we really want to be like, you know, if we have arguments and stuff, like it is your kind of your ego where you're like, I want them to like me again. Like, that kind of is
I want it to be totally forgotten about and not to have existed. Let's totally, just, you know,
and with male and female egos are like, and ego complexes are kind of expressed in different ways, I think, you know, that way, like women's egos are more like, it can be a bit of a competitive thing with other women sometimes. It can be, you know, more of a social aspect. Male egos can
even in front of men, I find like women very slyly and just kind of put down other women, like, oh, I'm not like that kind of bitch at all.
I'm a
cool bitch.
Totally. And then male egos are just expressed in different ways, usually around other men as well, or like it can be also like peacocking, or, you know, the men's egos can be quite like, they can be fragile sometimes, but so can women's. Like, we have to look at ourselves as well, and that's why they're the aspects of feminism that I think I could speak for you as well in. So like, we find frustrating and why we don't completely align ourselves and use that word to describe ourselves. It's not that we're like denouncing all feminist theory. It's
we just feel like a lot, the bulk of the conversation around feminism is
right now
pointing the finger at men and not looking at it as a whole. And, you know, like, that's where, you know, I think that we've always said we kind of align ourselves to the like true definition of feminism, of like equal rights and whatever, of like the different sexes. And therefore, if we're talking about stuff, we like will both equally look at the male and the female and not be like, oh, women are better, men are better, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, and I think when we have words like mansplaining, the male ego, toxic masculinity, it's very male, like, it's bashing men, and I don't like it and I won't take part of it.
Yeah. And I think it just takes away the conversation around just actual toxic and not nice behavior. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone is completely capable of being condescending, of, you know, spreading their shit all over the bus and being like, that's being very self-entitled and selfish. People, women are selfish, women are condescending, men are the exact same way. And you can't just blame it on one person, and it can feel that way. I totally understand that if you are like, you know, one of five women in an office of like, you know, 50 people, I'm sure it can feel that way because
there's different dynamics. Like, that's obviously going to be like a strange dynamic.
Yeah. And there's different communication skills. It just, that is just a fact. Like the way that men communicate to each other, and we see it all the time. Like we see it with like our fellas, like if they ever have a, you know, like a weird upset with their friend, it's resolved in a very different way to the way women do. Like women make sure we know we're over it, but men kind of just bury it, but they are over it. It's just a very different way of communicating. Mm-hmm. So like if you're going to be in a room full of 50 men, like do you ever get in a room with like more than a few men? You're just like, whoa, the conversation is so different. And I'm sure that's how Evan feels when he's around like all yeah. of us. Are
but
like,
you also have to be adaptable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, I've been hanging out with like men friends a lot more in the past couple of years, and like I have become way more adaptable, and I've actually like realized, whoa, I am like a lot, like very much like a guy's gal as well, you mm-hmm. know, like I'm very much a girl's girl, but like I'm also well able to like change up my conversation with men, and kind of it's very simple and easy to do. You have to read the room and be like quite observant and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just kind of about being a bit more adaptable and like just embracing the differences as well, you
yeah
know?
Totally, 100%. Embrace your differences too. Know your strengths as a woman, because where men might have some strengths better than women, women have a lot of strengths against men too. Yeah. And you can play,
get
that,
get your tits out and work and yeah. you'll be great.
But like as soon as you recognize like
breast spreading,
if you cleavage bulging, as soon as you recognize like the strengths of both sexes, I think you can use them to your advantage too,
and work in harmony.
And why not use them to your advantage, because men have been doing that for a fucking year. Thumbs up.
Yes, biatch. Okay.
Yes,
thank you so much for all your questions.
Yeah,
we love opening
great.
Up the Tumblr and seeing what you want us to chat about. So we will be back next month with another Q&A.
Keep
an eye on our Instagram, It Girls Podcast.
Yeah, go follow it, bitches, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, follow it for fuck's sake.
Why would you listen to the pod and not follow the gram?
Yeah, it's... Oh, girly girls. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.